Ooh, I can do some glenning there. Laura Ingalls Wilder lived with my family for at least a winter in Minnesota.
Wow.
She didn't write about it, but it happened. So you can read about it in her biography.
Memoirs or it didn't happen.
That sounds like one of those historical markers on a town that's kind of on the decline. Like, Linda Wilder actually lived here, had many adventures, none of which were interesting enough for her to put into any books.
She wrote 7 books. This didn't make the cut for any of them.
Apparently, like, I remember reading that chapter in her biography because I was interested. And I think the highlight of that little part, it's a very short chapter, was when my great-great-great uncle, maybe I'm missing a great, but anyway, some great uncle, Henry, when they were about 9 years old, proposed to her while they were on the swings, and she said no, and he ran home crying. So that's my family history.
Yeah. See, that could have been an episode.
That gives you a deep connection to Babylon 5, Erica.
Mm-hmm.
Through several connections.
6 degrees of Boxleitner.
Exactly.
Did you see the episode of Frasier where they had Sir Derek Jacobi come in as a an elderly Shakespearean actor that had absolutely delighted the young Frasier Crane and the young Lyles Crane at their prep school?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so it was funny at the time. It was doubly funny when I realized that the person who was noted as being one of the most special renditions of Hamlet in the 20th century got the chance to do the worst version of Hamlet he could come up with for this TV show. And I just imagine him channeling every bad performance he had ever seen, saying, you know, the part where I'm going, I die, Horatio. And I wonder if there's like somebody, like one of his contemporaries, like, wait a minute, that's something that I came up with in 1952 when he was directing. Oh, damn it. Screw you, Derek.
You're listening to Jacobi! Exclamation point.
Oh, I would so listen to that.
The Derek Jacobi podcast.
Next week, CAD file.
Yeah, actually, I had a terrible teacher for 12th grade English. She was just not good. But her laziness actually worked in our favor because she had us read Othello out loud, I think because she just didn't want to actually teach anything else. So I adored the experience of reading that play for the first time because I got to be Desdemona, and it was fantastic.
Thanks anyway, lady.
Mm-hmm. I remember. I'm going to try to avoid mentioning this teacher's name because he might still be alive. But he stands as the worst teacher, the only teacher I actively loathed. He was my English teacher in 8th grade, and he had one of the things that made him a pathetic and awful creature is that he was David Brent. He absolutely craved the approval of the class. He wanted everybody to like him, and he wanted to be part of the group, so much so that, like, I remember every Friday, I think it was at the end of the week, he would start class by reading us all a poem that he had written about how the week had gone. And so as a captive audience, but you're get ready to gasp again. And you can have 3 gasps from that. That was number 1. Here's number 2. If it's on Tuesday, like, this was not me, thank God, but if someone had been caught, like, in the back of the class picking his nose, and then somebody, like, saw him, hey, pick, what are you doing, pick? And then his nickname, like, for the entire week, people just verbally abusing him and calling him pick. He would use the word, he would say, when Daniel got to, then everybody said, pick. Cause if he makes fun of the kid that everyone else is making fun of, oh boy, people will like him too. So this sets up how loathsome this guy was. And now here's the 3rd gasp. Midsummer Night's Dream, and he's teaching it the way that so many other teachers do it, by having kids come up and stage parts of it. And so there is the part of my memory is not absolutely crystal clear, but there's a part where 2 of the characters are conversing through a hole in the wall because they're separated by this barrier. Mm-hmm. And so, but in the text, it's the chink in the wall. There are a couple of Asian American students. Guess who he has to stand up here, and you're going to be the chink in the wall. And that was the first time I ever thought, this guy is a total piece of crap. And I felt powerless saying, if I could transport myself back in time to any moment and do something differently, I would say, that's not right. Do you really think I can't even laugh about it. I still remember the expression on these two girls' faces
we've learned here is that it's not the assigned reading, it's the assigner.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say, I will say that there are other teachers that I absolutely loved, but this guy, again, his name is right there on my lips. I don't want to say it in case, I don't know. I don't know if the incomparable could get sued for this sort of thing, but I know that he's either dead or not teaching, or dead and teaching people in hell. any three of those things satisfies me greatly. Right. But that's what came to mind when you started talking about that sort of stuff.
Wow.
Wow. All right.